from WILL Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moldine. It's Thursday, December 16th. Coming up, two reporters from the Illinois Student Newsroom will take us through an exhibit at Krannert Art Museum in Champaign, intended to change the way we think about disability. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. After nearly 20 years of attempts, the state of Illinois will finally sell the James R. Thompson Center in downtown Chicago. Hannah Meisel has more.
From the outside, the Thompson Center has what can only be described as a spaceship-like aesthetic, but it's the building's insides that have made it a frequent punchline in Illinois. Renamed for the state's longest-serving governor, Jim Thompson, the 1980s-era building has fallen into disrepair, making it the perfect metaphor for politicians on both sides of the aisle pointing out shortcomings in state government.
We were a bit cynical because of the reputation the building had.
That's Michael Reschke, the developer taking the building off Illinois' hands. Former governors Rod Blagojevich and Bruce Rauner both proposed selling the Thompson Center to help balance the state's books. But instead of the $300 million Rauner hoped to sell it for, Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration is accepting $70 million as Reschke's group plans a total gut rehab. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Champaign's new plan to reduce gun violence divides $3.2 million in pandemic relief among local agencies. None of that new money would go to the Champaign Police Department. Instead, the plan focuses on expanding social services to give potential shooters and victims a path out of violence. City Councilor Davion Williams appreciates this approach.
I don't want this program to be heavy with law enforcement because that is somewhat intimidating to African-American individuals. But I'm not saying you can't have it, but I want there to be a balance. There must be a balance.
The city council unanimously supported the city's new community gun violence reduction blueprint in a study session this week. The council still needs to formally vote to send out the dollars suggested in the blueprint. Champaign city government spent the most money this year on its police department, followed by the fire department. This does not include Champaign Unit 4 schools, which raise their own taxes. Residents hoping to travel by rail this month might find their options limited due to increased demand for public transportation this time of year. Olivia Vamos of the Illinois Student Newsroom has more.
A spokesperson for Amtrak, Mark Magliari, says travelers might not get their first choice for rail travel and could wind up paying more for the seats they can get.
It might not be possible if people want to wait till the last day or two to buy a ticket because so much of the traffic in the Champaign-Urbana and Carbondale markets is dictated by the college schedules at the U of I and SIU and Eastern.
For the future, he says, passengers should buy both fall and winter holiday travel tickets by October. For those who are traveling, Magliari says COVID-19 safety precautions will continue to be in place, especially as concerns about the Omicron variant impact travel. I'm Olivia Vamos, Illinois Student Newsroom.
A man in his 60s, another in his 90s, and a woman in her 70s are the latest COVID deaths in Champaign County. That makes for six COVID-related deaths in the county this week and brings the all-time countywide death toll to 222. Health officials reported 270 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County yesterday. The number of active cases is back over 1,800. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 76 patients hospitalized with COVID, down from 83 on Monday. 17 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll take a tour through an exhibit at Krannert Art Museum, meant to change the way we think about disability. That story from Farrah Anderson and Vivian Law is coming up next on 217 Today.
Women from all walks of life worked the farms that fed Britain during World War II, doing their part to maintain the home front as members of the Women's Land Army. The series Land Girls tells their story. The show has been compared to Call the Midwife, and it highlights women's advancement in the world of agriculture as they help to win the war. Learn how you can watch the entire series as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. A new exhibit at the Krannert Art Museum in Champaign is intended to challenge the way that both museums and their visitors think about disability. Two Illinois Public Media student reporters visited the exhibit this semester as part of a class trip meant to help students understand how museum exhibits could be made more accessible for guests with disabilities. Farrah Anderson and Vivian Law of the Illinois Student Newsroom take us through the exhibit called CRIP.
It's a cloudy fall morning. We walk through the back entrance of the Krannert Art Museum, and we have no idea what we're going to learn. We're at the wheelchair-accessible entrance, all the way across the museum from the front lobby. We walk through the museum, past walls filled with classic European portraits and neon light displays, to put our coats at the front entrance.
If you have a backpack, I suggest you lock it. There's lockers big enough.
There's no place to sit, stairs are everywhere, and museums don't often address these issues of accessibility. That's the point of CRIP, an exhibit named after a word that's being reclaimed by many people with disabilities. Before we see the exhibit, we can hear it. All of the art in the exhibit addresses accessibility, and many of the artists have disabilities themselves. Exhibit organizers say the name references CRIP theory, created by University of Illinois graduate Robert McCruer. He says that our understanding of disability depends on what's defined as normal.
Today, an artist, Liza Sylvester, is giving a tour to our Journalism Ethics and Diversity class. Sylvester is deaf. She says she put the exhibit together after being inspired by the experiences of artists with disabilities. Many museums provide audio recordings that describe works of art for people with sight disabilities, but Sylvester says that's the bare minimum that museums should offer. We can hear verbal descriptions that play out loud in the exhibit. For some pieces, we have to use our phones to scan a QR code to hear them.
One of our classmates, journalism student Alexis Ramirez, stops at a sculpture of a medical ID tag hanging on the exhibit wall. We're told that people with disabilities sometimes wear these tags so medical workers can immediately understand their needs. Ramirez says the piece speaks to him. It helps him understand the importance of making journalism accessible to everyone.
Because it is like such an important part of, you know, giving people the ability to experience the content that we were producing. There's really a lot more that we could do.
And like Ramirez, we're figuring out that disability isn't often included in conversations about diversity. Kevin Hamilton, another journalism student, says he's known this for a long time. He uses a wheelchair and sees what we don't.
Everybody does perceive the world within what they can do.
Professor Nikki Usher teaches our Journalism Ethics and Diversity class. She says she wanted us to learn how to better report on people's experiences that might be different than ours.
I think that it couldn't be more connected to the mission of journalism itself, because you can only listen to what other people's experiences are. You can't have them yourself.
When we ask Sylvester, the exhibit curator, how journalists could better understand disability, she says people's identities aren't as simple as the media would like them to be.
And I think that everybody has something to gain from disability, whether or not they believe that or whether or not their studies actually directly intersects with disability.
Throughout the tour, we've heard the sound of a violin playing. At the last stop, we finally learn where it's coming from. A piece at the center of the exhibit features violins and speakers playing the song Pure Imagination from the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Sylvester says the piece ties into disability. This is because the movie asks us to think about everything we'll do to fit in. Now, we're both picturing a world where accessibility isn't a goal, but it's just a reality. As Sylvester ends the tour, we snap an applause. Yeah. Reporting for the Illinois Student Newsroom, I'm Farrah Anderson.
And I'm Vivian Law.
The CRIP exhibit will be on display at Gallery 400 at the University of Illinois Chicago starting in January. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see a few showers this morning, then skies will gradually clear with temperatures falling to around 40 degrees this afternoon. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Emily Hayes, Olivia Vamos, Farrah Anderson, and Vivian Law. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.